Our final speaker for the graduate student session is Stephen Till, again from Auburn University, and he will be presenting on a cost-effective approach for combining nematicides, starter fertilizers, and plant growth regulators in order to create a sustainable management system for the southern root knot nematode, Mellitogyne incognita, and corn.
Thank you for the introduction. So I'm the guy presenting corn at a cotton meeting. I'm Stephen Till, another Auburn University student under Dr. Kathy Lawrence. And so thank you all for letting me speak today to you. And we're going to talk about what I did as my master's project, trying to develop a different management system for root knot nematode in corn. And we did this by trying to combine nematicides, starter fertilizers, and plant growth regulator. So to get into it, the pathogen of interest, Mellitogyne incognita race 3. In Alabama, if you've heard through all these speaks, it's a problematic pathogen on cotton and soybean and also corn. You can see the different symptoms associated with each of those host plants. And in the bottom picture, you see kind of what you would see in the field based on symptomatics with you see the cotton and soybean kind of up and down wavy pattern. Corn, this is just a picture of showing relative stunning. So the symptoms in corn are a lot less obvious than it would be in cotton and soybean. This is mainly due to the bigger root system. And they say that these symptoms are become more obvious when detrimental environmental conditions occur. So they may mask it and show up later. So what we're really going to do is first look at some of the current management options in corn that there are today. Obviously, crop rotations is very important. Crop rotations with corn are used with cotton, soybean, and peanut. However, only peanuts are the non-host for the root knot nematode. But you can rotate with cotton and soybeans, and that's by the use of resistant varieties. However, there are no resistant varieties for corn that are commercially available. Lastly, obviously, the use of nematicides. The most common way to manage nematodes, just an example commonly used is counter 20G. Counter 20G is has been shown to increase yields by up to 30 bushels per acre in fields in Alabama. So what we're trying to do is to use these inputs, the starter fertilizers, the plant growth regulator, and nematicides, to try to create this early boost in corn plant growth in the season. And we did this by first selecting our products. We did this by screening them in the greenhouse individually and then selected the best. We integrated them into the field trials. And like I said, the end goal, vigorous early root system. Hopefully this sustains and we see a cost-effective increase in yield. So the fertilizers, PGRs, promote that growth, maybe promote tolerance to the nematode feeding. The nematicide aspect is to protect the plant and decrease nematode population density. So to get in, just briefly look at the starter fertilizers, kind of why we're using this. So starter fertilizers are known to kind of enhance corn germination. And this is mainly in the Midwest. You'll see starter fertilizers used a lot because they plant in the cold soils or no-till. And in those situations, nutrients are tied up. This supplies readily available nutrients to these soils. And we thought that may have some potential in managing nematodes, getting them off to early growth, such as that. So what we have here is we have pop-up fertilizers, two application types, pop-up fertilizers and banded 2x2. For our greenhouse trials, I've added pop-up fertilizers. This fertilizer applied in the furrow with the seed. And the 2x2 is 2 inches below and 2 inches beside the seed. So I'm going to scan through the greenhouse data so we can get to the field results, just to show you how we got it. These are pictures, 45 days of planting in the greenhouse. We inoculated with 10,000 root knot eggs. And you see, we used different in-furrow fertilizers, SureK, ProGerm Micro 500, and an organic alternative, Neptune's Harvest. And with the application of all these fertilizers, you can see how it overcomes that nematode feeding without any fertilizers, promoting the root growth as opposed to the control where we see the dramatic decrease in branching of the roots. So our results suggested that there was no clear difference between SureK, ProGerm Micro, so we combined these as one application. Moving on to the plant growth regulator, we chose Ascend, which is a product by Winfield, and it has endobutyric acid, cytokinin, and gibberellic acid. We evaluated different application types, and what we found was the in-furrow spray method was the most effective at increasing that root biomass and promoting that tolerance to root knot feeding, as opposed to, you see that control, once again, very thin root system. Side note, we did find that the over-application of Ascen, we saw higher nematode populations, and you see that galling is seen there. So we evaluated the last aspect, the nematicides. Corn does not have the as big of a profile of nematicides as other crops, but we evaluated Counter 20G, Avicta seed treatment, Poncho Vetivo seed treatment, and Alevo. Obviously, Alevo is not registered for corn, it's registered for soybean, but we were interested in Fluipyrum just to see how it worked with corn, and we combined Poncho and Alevo as the last treatment. What we saw was Counter 20G was the most effective treatment in these studies, but also of note, Alevo was similar, and it didn't show any alarming signs in greenhouse studies, so we wanted to see how it looked in the field to further study that. So to get into our 2016 treatment list, we have our counter nematicide with our Alevo seed treatment, followed by the Ascen and furrow application with those nematicides, and then our pop-up fertilizer combinations with those nematicides, and a combination of both the Ascen and the pop-ups, followed by everything that we could put out at one time. We set up this in a random complete block design with five replications. Our two locations are our plant breeding unit, which is centrally located by shown here, and Bruton, more coastal located in the southern part of Alabama. So we analyzed data, SAS 9.4, LS means compared, and Dunnett's method at a significance value of less than or equal to 0.1. So I get into the results. So first, I'm going to show you what we saw visually before I get into the data. And this is at 30 days after planting. These are the treatments that really stood out to us. We're going to keep the control up here and scan through some treatments. This is just counter compared to the control. You can see the obvious visual betterment in the counter. When we add counter with Ascen, not as obvious, but there's still improvement there. When you add counter with the pop-ups, greener, bigger stands, looks better. When the most glaring one was both the Ascen and the pop-up. This was 30 days after planting. So we're going to look at the data. We're going to look at 45 days after planting. This is just when we dug the plants. What we're going to point out here is, remember the counter and pop-up and the counter Ascen and pop-up. And these are early plant growth parameters. So plant height on the top, biomass on the bottom, which is the shoot and root fresh weights. And those two treatments just mentioned were the only two to significantly increase plant height and plant biomass as compared to the untreated control. And they're highlighted by the orange. This will be the trend throughout the rest of the presentation, highlighted in orange, is significant. So now we saw these early increases. That's good and all, but does it translate to yield? And first of note here on the right side, you'll see the eggs per gram of root, which is the root knot population. It's fairly low at Bruton. However, we did see most all treatments had a significant decrease compared to the control. When we look at yield, those same two treatments, counter pop-up, counter Ascen and pop-up, sustained that early growth promotion, and we had a significant increase in yield at Bruton in 2016. So now we're going to look at the other location. This is PBU, the more centrally located location. Same thing, plant height and biomass. All three inputs, counter, Ascen, and pop-up fertilizers, significantly increased plant height and biomass. Now, in this location, we had no significant differences with yield. We did have increases, however, they were numerical. And also, there were no significant differences in eggs per gram of root. And you can see this is a much higher population, almost up to 3,000 eggs per gram of root at this location. So what does this all mean? Is it worth putting these out? We're going to look at some economics real quick. So what I have here is the cost of application for each of the counter treatments, followed by the break-even yield when using these treatments, and this is in kilograms per hectare. And then we're going to start with PBU location. How much yield was obtained above the control, and if that was a net gain or loss. So at PBU, only one treatment, counter plus Ascen, had a net gain, which is only $2.61 per hectare. net gain. But when we look at Bruton, we see that dramatic yield above control, and everything paid for itself at Bruton. And so the takeaway here is our counter plus ascend was the only treatment that had a positive net gain at both locations. And at Bruton, we had a dramatic $113 per hectare increase with the application of counter, ascend, and pop-up fertilizers. So next, this next year, we wanted to modify our treatment list. And as I showed earlier, we wanted to use to evaluate the 2x2 fertilizer to see how that stacked up against pop-ups. And we used the same locations, same setup for the trial. However, notice there is 2 platinates at PBU, and I'll briefly get into that. So we came back to do our sampling, and this is what we saw. So we had to replant in May 19th, which is not ideal for corn. So just keep that in mind going through the PBU data whenever we get to that point. This is the old field we had to replant. So treatment list is slightly modified. We have our counter, nematicide, and the pop-ups by themselves, followed by the 2x2. So we use 10-34-0 combined with 25-003. And we're able to do this by purchasing of the G2 fertilizer disc from Schaefer Manufacturing. You can see it puts it out right beside the seed furrow at that appropriate length away from the seed. And I had our ascend and furrow, the nematicides with the inputs. We combined the fertilizers with ascend and all of the combinations with the 2 different application types. So to get into the data real quick, at Bruton, the 2x2 by itself significantly increased plant height and biomass, was the only treatment to do both. However, a lot of treatments significantly increased biomass. I'm not going to specifically point out, just we had dramatic differences with these treatments at 31 days after planting. When we look at yield at Bruton, we saw no differences. Now this has to do a lot with the weather conditions. We had a lot of rain, and there's nothing to really take away from this data here, and I will show you. This is 67 days after planting. This is a drone picture. So I have this arrow going up. Our reps had to be stacked vertically because just the way the field is, it's long and so wide. And with all this rain, you see just the differences in the field, that low spot and how everything is the variation in the field. So this hurt our yield data, and we weren't able to accurately portray this early differences in plant growth. PBU, we saw the same thing. A lot of the treatments had increases. However, we'll point out these were dramatic increases with the 2x2, the counter with the 2x2, and so pretty much all treatments, all the 2x2 treatments did really well at increasing this early plant growth at PBU. But once again, I said we planted late at this location. We had very low yields, so it almost just over 2,000 kilograms per hectare. Not ideal. Don't plant towards the end of May. Is that takeaway there? So unfortunately, overall conclusions, we were in 2017, environmental conditions and whatnot, we weren't able to get good yield data from that, and running short on time. So overall, we had 2 years of research, 4 trials. 1 out of the 4 trials was able to all the trials had significant early plant growth, but only 1 of them translated to yield, and in an economical fashion did it translate to yield. So with that, I'm through, and I'll take any of your questions. Kind of a lot to cover there at one time, but we'll take your questions at this time.
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes.
What was the soil nutrient status?
There were high P, high soil test P soils. Yes. Yeah, not ideal, but it's just the location that we were at. At the Bruton location, the micronutrient thing, it's not a terrible amount of micro. So at the Bruton location, there was very low sulfur, so there was a need for the sulfur, which is why we put in the 25003 in the first place. It wasn't a glaring need for micronutrients. That was just to translate the greenhouse data to the field and see if that was, but there was low sulfur at Bruton. Yes. Yeah, it was the same field, but just somewhere else within that location.